everybody. Welcome to episode number 22 of Spike Drop Kick Tripod here with Yiska and Volumel. Good to see y'all. We've got a good one today. Happy Friday. We're all still recovering, I think, from crazy sleep schedules for our Overwatch leave, except for Yiska, who nothing changes in his life for this. He's just whatever. Wow.
No, just
I hate it when esports and Overwatch esports favor the Germans.
Yeah.
As they so often once. Have been biased towards.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you guys got all the good stuff anyways. Like, you had good, like, OSL times, you know, you had good GSL times, like.
I mean, yeah, Europe, if that's Europe your has... job and you don't have to work through it, yeah. And if you're a student degenerate, like, being able to take advantage of it, yeah, you're right. Otherwise, the rest of the world should be working. Like,
oh, I've got you guys messed up on your cams. My bad. My bad. Well, while we get that, I'm going to take care of that in a second. While we do that, though, big thanks to being here. If you like the show, follow the show on Twitch at twitch.tv/kicktripod, Twitter, twitter.com/spikedrop, and YouTube at youtube.com/spikedrop. We're going to be trying something different with some of the episodes. And I realized on Tuesday that We did like a game night thing afterward, and I totally forgot to upload last week's episode. I just suck. So that won't be happening anymore, and we've got some changes coming to how we're posting our videos to YouTube to kind of give you some more digestible clips and things if you aren't kind of ready to be diving into full hour and a half podcasts. So we'll kind of have the interesting topics kind of broken out for you on the channel. Other than that, though, big thanks to Blue, who did an awesome job on our intro and outro. And of course, you can find us on all of the podcast outlets as well. Let's talk about what's going on. Act three is coming starting October 13th. Essentially is when we're going to get the first big injection of new content into Valorant. Here's the highlights, and we're going to talk about the rest individually. First, brand new map, Icebox, which releases on October 13th for unrated and October 27th for competitive. Woo! We've got a competitive refresh with some different changes. We've got an Act 3 Battle Pass thing. Sure. Singularity weapon skins. I am poor. A new Dala Gun Buddy to celebrate Valorant's expansion to the Middle East and North Africa. Welcome to the game, everybody from there. And a new agent, Sky, who will be coming out in October 27th. And we're really... Joe was so excited about that.
I'm so excited to be about excited about a game.
Isn't that like, great?
You ask 1 week, you go, hey, guys. Can we get a map? And they're like, eh, how about a map? How about a hero? What do you like? And yep. Like, what do you say?
Yeah.
Like, that's I'm just happy to be happy. It's sick. Yeah. New content. Yep. Makes me want to play. I haven't played in a little bit. I'm looking at this hero, looking at this map. I'm like, hey, why don't I, you know, jump back on Valor for a little bit. Warm up.
Yep.
Carry me. Will you carry
literally
me?
Just...
I need someone to carry.
I cannot carry.
Joe is so methodical in this game. I remember when we played a little bit in, I think it was still in beta, or whenever we got to play. Mm. And dude, you're pretty good, man. You're good at games. You don't get enough credit for being good at games. He's too modest, Yiska.
What did you guys play?
We played some Valorant.
Hmm. But
back in the day,
I mean, you know,
we played. We played very drunk game night Valorant, us three together, that one time.
Right.
Yeah, and then I assumed that Yiska was going to be drunk enough and on ping enough that he would bottom frag, and he did not. He top fragged.
I did top frag.
He did make me eat my words.
It's a German thing to play better the more inhibited your senses are.
That really probably is the most German
thing. I just hear it's like a European thing. Where it's like there's like in general where it's like,
yeah,
you know, that you can just do it all drunk.
Did you know that I think alcohol is banned in like darts. It's like a performance enhancing drug there. Really?
Really? Just like, think so, yeah. Many hands. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, there's like, you know, the thing, the thing too, are like drug drivers are less likely to die in car accidents because they don't tense up when they're about to like hit things. They're like more lip, because I think it's partly like just the reaction and just partly what the body is. I probably butchered the science behind that, but
right,
you know, same thing for darts. You're just kind of like, you know, yeah, just loosey, just keep it loose, and just kind of.
I think the vast majority of things happening is just like second guessing and an overthinking, and it kind of gets rid of that pretty well, doesn't it?
Oh,
because now nobody has ever second guessed themselves while totally blackout drunk. Like, that's not a thing. Like,
nope. Yeah. You get that one pushback, and if you can get through that, it is what it is. You'll deal with the consequences when you're sober.
Yeah. Jeez. Man, this is something.
This is more
start
of
to the show.
A true sight into our psyches. But yes, talking about being loose, Riot, loose, flexible with their content schedule. I'm about it. I'm excited. Give it to me. I'm over the moon that they're this quick with it. Like, I think we were starting to hit like the deadline of, okay, what's coming next, Riot? What's, give me something. Like, I'm starting to get a little bored. I think we're getting a little dry in this game. And then they hit us, not only with a map, which I think everybody was like kind of gunning for, but also the new agent, what she does.
Also, like, people don't realize they completely, like, they moved up the map development by 2 months.
Yeah. It was like, it should have been part of episode 2.
Right. At the launch of episode 2. Now, of course, I also don't think it's fair to then expect, like, you know, another episode map for in 2 months. But, and maybe we even run a little dry because they, like, rush this out. But, like, that's most definitely what most people asked for. A new agent still coming out within reason, like, slightly delayed, but, like, still fine.
Sure.
And then also, like, it's not just the content updates, it's also how they move in balance-wise. Like, actually getting onto pro player streams and talking to them about game balance. Actually, like, listening to the community when, like, to the point where it's strongly considered. I think they still hold their ground when it needs to be. They just feel much more receptive. Like, I honestly, like, in an esport, I've never experienced something where, like, a large scale AAA developer gives so much access to their game as Valorant does right now. Like, it almost feels like the indie company that runs like a 50 viewer Twitch tournament, and the best players always are like, you know, the game would be better if this was the case, and the developers like, yeah, Joe, like, that's your first name. We had beers on Friday. Like, you know, like, this is really special. And I hope they don't dull to the experience, because it's really easy to just like be crushed by negative feedback. Yep. And it does take strong mentals to not have to shut down and like, you know, like become numb to the feedback. But so far, like, a dream.
It really is a dream. Like, it's almost, and I don't even know if I'm using the correct terminology, like, is it a Pavlovian response to like look at something and be like, okay, what's the catch? Like, I'm almost like trained to look at like some sort of negative, or like I'm looking through this and I'm like, okay, what could
that's
be
just
that?
Trauma.
Okay, just, well, trauma. I'm just traumatized. Very good.
No, but I kind of hope that response doesn't make sense here. Yeah,
fair enough. All right, traumatized then would be the word. I'm kind of like, is the team like rushed? Like, are they like, what's the game development term that everybody's like pushing back on? Like, is this cram or crunch?
Right?
Yeah. Is it, like, did they crunch this out? Like,
yeah, that's a concern.
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
But
that's a concern to be sure.
You don't like it because you're worried about the quality of it, or just that they're like focused on, like, they're probably panicking to get content out now because of
Look at you, this capitalist talking. I'm concerned for the developers as people.
Oh,
yeah, what? I'm concerned more for
the computers
them,
do all the work.
If anything.
Yeah. You're doing this from home, dudes. It's just working from home. Like, welcome to at-home slavery, capitalism, and COVID. Yeah.
That's the most I could nitpick. Like, that's the only thing I can go, like, right. I hope that this isn't, like, just rushed out. I appreciate the flexibility and, like, identifying that, like, hey, the community's, like, a brewing and they need something. But, yeah, I'm just kind of excited. Just happy.
Mm-hmm.
Big thumbs up. Like, literally A+. I can't complain all that much, if any.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the competitive refresh then, shall we? Because I think that's kind of the big thing before we get into the two pieces of content.
Sure.
Bear in mind that not all these changes in the competitive refresh are going to be going live with Act 3 until Episode 2. So not everything is starting right away. But first and foremost, we've got a tighter rank queue. So now you used to be able to queue with plus or minus 6 rank tiers. And that has been reduced now to plus or minus 3 rank tiers. So they tightened that quite a bit. I thought that when it was plus or minus 6, it was what it's changing to now. So I personally am favored in this. Obviously sucks for people who want to play competitive and they've got friends who are better or worse than them that they don't really care about, but it makes sense. It's competitive. Like, let's make competitive queue competitive, period. Sorry.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's no reason to, like, really skew things. Like, it definitely is a concern that, like, of course you do want to play competitive with your friends and that is hindered.
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, there's other modes to play with friends.
I think I would have been okay if they wanted to just keep it wide at, like, the lower ranks, like if bronze, silver, gold,
and tighten it as you go up.
Yeah. Plat, diamond, or whatever. Like, kind of what Overwatch does is, like, you kind of have the same rules all the way up to diamond. And once you get into masters and GM is where you start to kind of get you start to get some of those changes. I would get it if they did it, but at the same time, like, I don't mind just the consistency across the ladder. It's fine. I'm happy with it. Preferred servers. So you're not guaranteed, but you can at least, you have a much higher likelihood to get the server you prefer, to help out with ping and that kind of stuff. That's great. Immortal Plus ranks are 100% based on wins and losses now, for ranking up and down.
Okay, color me ignorant, but what does that even mean?
It used to take personal performance into account
you would earn more.
You could earn more or less based on how you perform in a win or loss, or lose more or less.
Makes sense.
Whereas now in Immortal Plus, it's did you win?
Just win.
Awesome.
Just
did you
lost.
Lose? Not awesome. Up, down. Great. I'm for this. I think it's more transparent. I think I think Overwatch struggles with this sometimes, where what the stats say about Overwatch and contribution don't actually don't actually accurately contribute to how you contributed to that win, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it might have been the right thing to pocket that Genji as Mercy the entire game.
Yeah.
Might have been.
And what you don't want is people to, like, figure out a way to not game the system, but, like, alter their play to climb rather than to win. So, like, you can kind of stem the bleeding of a loss, or, like, really try to push a win by, like, fragging out of control or doing the most damage. So it's not like you're playing well. You're just trying to play to climb. And that's, like, some, like, next level 10 years from now stuff. But still, it's good to kind of jump in front of it. And again, I like it.
Yusuke, you're the competition purist on the show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Joe isn't, yeah, or I'm not, but you just kind of like, I think you kind of take it to another level than Joe and I often do. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I mean, generally, like, that's what you want to have. I think it's like the what most like pro players ask for, right? Like, I feel like this is like my Twitter feed answered in many ways, in terms of like what kind of complaints I've seen the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
Is there anything that you guys can think of that wouldn't fly with them? Because I feel like this is designed for the top players.
Not really.
Right.
Yeah, it seems like any like the big things that like the consensus has been like complaining about has been addressed. Like first, obviously the op, and you know, now like the matchmaking getting kind of tweaked. Like, again, credit where credit's due. Riot is quick to respond, and they seem to be knocking it out of the park at every turn. Can't not love that.
Yep. Yep.
What it makes it better for boosters. Are people getting boosted?
I think it creates a higher demand. Yeah.
But I think it's, I don't know if you can actually effectively boost at that high of a rank or carry.
Yeah.
I don't think you could 4v5.
No, you would need a team basically, right?
Yeah. It'd be really tough. So yeah. I think it's largely a moot point. You know, it's one thing where, like, in WoW, we used to, like, do RGB or RBGs and, like, raids, and you could do, like, you know, a mythic carries 20 man at 19, 18, even 17, no problem. You just, like, stack people in, and here's your loot. Can't do that in a 5v5 game.
Yesko, will you carry me to Gladiator, please? I want my title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do threes. Let's WoW Arena threes.
I can't stand threes.
I guarantee you, if we decided to do an arena team, we wouldn't have a podcast 2 weeks
later. No,
we wouldn't.
No. Oh god, when I played WoW, I was a bad rager, dude.
Like, somehow it does not surprise me, buddy. Love you to death.
Yeah,
a younger you.
I'm a really pleasant loser, and even a more pleasant winner. Yeah. So what else do we have? Depending on the results of the experiment, they may expand the win-loss measurements to be used in all ranks. Uh-huh. Interesting. I'm largely okay with it. I think it feels better when it feels better and corrects faster if you are a high-performing individual who is improving at a pace faster than those around you. But I think eventually you get out of those anyway. Right?
Yeah. I'm not like super picky either way. I think it's probably more beneficial at the lower levels. But yeah, either way, I think it's fine. I think for a game that it is as competitively focused as Valorant is, I think just having it just like, did you win, did you lose, climb based on that, I think it's fine. I think it definitely kind of fits the bill.
Yeah, I'm fine with it too. What are you guys' thoughts on gaining more by winning by more and losing more by losing by more?
It doesn't necessarily feel right. As individual as this game is, or as individually focused as these types of games can be, Valorant does feel a little teamwork oriented in a weird way. Like, obviously you still have like the clutch potential of a CS, like tactical shooter. But losing people and losing that utility comes at a very substantial cost. So is it, it, how much of it is your fault that your team lost by as much as they did?
Yep.
I don't know. So yeah, I'm not, I'm not super picky about it.
Like, I was a top fragger on my 2v13 team, you know?
Yeah,
I get it. I personally think that this is, it's an easy implementation and there's probably ways to like min max it to be better, but it's transparent. It's easy. It's uniform.
Very. Like, streamlined.
I think the benefits need to be pretty high in order for you to go away from that system.
Yeah.
Which I just don't think there are. Yeah. The other thing, last thing in the competitive refresh is public leaderboard and potential restrictions to solo and dual queue in Immortal Plus.
I like a public leaderboard. I think that kind of puts my mind in a... It's like their answer to... Well, I guess they could already do that with like the load-in screens for like League. So if like you perform well in like a ranked season in League of Legends, like you get like these emblems and these borders to kind of show off that like, hey, last year I was this rank and like look at all my accolades. Again, like Riot seems to be good at developing systems to be able to show off your achievements less than just like having like a little merit badge sash and be like, well, I have this achievement at this one, and then I got 5 kills here, and I got a 6-man Earth Shatter. They actually have things that make you feel good for doing well, whether it be giving you a skin or, you know, making you load in and, you know, get to show off a little bit. Again, being on a public leaderboard is a little old school, but I think Riot could make that fresh and kind of incentivize it, which is pretty cool. Definitely is something to kind of track. And the potential restrictions, I guess it kind of comes into the realm of it depends on how it's executed. It's like the devil's really in the details, which I'm not mad at. I think maybe that's like the next thing is like the debate between like a flex queue or just leaving it the way it is, where like you can queue and there isn't so much of a restriction on this other separate rank that you can get. And then there's just the solo ranks, very similar to how League of Legends runs, where right now it's very much like a CS where you group up, the game's kind of meant to be played as a team and you go in. Like, is that a separate queue in and of itself? Do you want a solo queue? I think that's like the only other sector that I think Riot can like really fine tune. And even then, I don't know exactly what the best solution is.
And they said that they're like committed to, you know, kind of like figuring out what the more casual player can get out of the game that's not competitive, and that competitive though should be competitive. Like, sure, you could play with your friends if you want to, but it's ultimately designed to be a competitive mode where you go in with the intention of trying to win. And I'm all for that. Before we do go on to the other big stuff, I don't know which one of you put this in the show notes, but I forgot to put it in. Morello, after 10 years, is leaving Riot.
Kind of sad.
Yeah. Super sad. He was the character design lead for Valorant, previously on League of Legends. I think he did stuff with Guild Wars. He is one of the people. I don't follow Riot and League and all that kind of stuff.
But he's
still popped up in my feed regularly and generally had really like positive sentiments behind him.
Yep.
So losing him is kind of a blow. He says, "Hey folks, want to let everyone know that I'll be leaving Riot after over 10 pretty damn awesome years. I can't say what I'm doing next yet, but suffice to say it's one of the only things that could have pulled me away from my home here at Riot. The obvious is that I won't be able to answer your questions or help with Valorant these days," and he links who you can connect with. "Leaving is bittersweet. On one hand, I'm really excited for the next stage of design and life, but on the other, I'll miss the team and community. It's been a great ride. Thanks to everyone for the love for the game, love of the game, support, and passion. I'll see you out here again. Much love." Um, Bummer. Yeah, okay. Are you guys concerned? Are you?
As I don't. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I'm kind of thinking like what really catches my eye in his like Twitter statement is that like this is the only thing that could like pull him away, which seems to be
obvious,
like
a right?
Big
let's deal. Go.
No, I
Dreamhaven.
Yeah, that's where kind of where I was gonna ask, like, what was that like new Morhaime studio?
Yeah,
I wonder if he's heading a project there. Maybe he like pitched them something and was like, "Hey,
yep,
I'd love to work with you guys." Pillars, you know, probably played a lot of the games that they developed, mm-hmm. and you know that would be probably the only other place. He seems like a Riot head through and through. Again, I think he's probably, if I had to guess, one of the earlier hires in the company's like development,
dude. In one way, I'm super hyped for this, and in another way, I'll be 40 before we ever see anything from them.
Yeah, it's gonna be
it's
a
gonna
while.
Be so long. It's gonna be so long.
I hate to like tangent, but like that studio has to like knock it out of the park.
Yeah,
yeah. So for those who are wondering what the hell we're talking about. 10 years or so ago, Blizzard kind of fused with Activision, kind of as its own separate entity, kind of not. There's kind of some whatever. And then over the past, I would say, 4 or so years, the Activision part has been growing and growing. And Blizzard has always kind of been a very, like, revered players first kind of design. If we need 15 years to design a game, we'll take 15 years to design a game. Just kind of one of those very holistic design philosophy companies, whereas Activision, I'm not going to say anything about the quality of the games they put out because they've obviously put out some quality games, but they have a very different philosophy to min-maxing some of revenues and profits and whatever else, maybe more numbers focused, however you want to say it. So over the past 4 years, a lot of people have left, big names, like staple names. And in just the past few weeks, they've come up for air, and we found out that a bunch of them have started their own game studio called Dreamhaven, which we don't know a whole lot about. We know that Mike Morhaime is one of the former CEO of Blizzard, is one of the people on there. Who else is all there? I mean, there's so many big names.
Morhaime was just kind of all the big ones. The old heads. I don't think Metzen's involved. I'll look.
Yeah.
Let's
there will see. Be Amy Morhaime is heading operations. They'd hired a number of former anyways, there's a lot going on there just to get you caught up on that. So I don't know. The only thing I will say is I don't think that that's it's kind of a canned thing to say. Like, I wouldn't move if I didn't feel like this was, you know, like a really big thing or a really special thing, or, you know, kind of like some sort of canned version of that. So it, like, he might have just taken a sack of money and gone to Epic Games like Nanzer did. I don't know.
Maybe.
But
yeah,
I think that Dreamhaven would be one of the
that would be hilarious. There's just one thing that can draw me away from my 10-year-long passion. It's a bunch of money. So much money.
It's the bag, baby.
Full not, of money.
I mean, I would say it. I would say it.
Some life-changing like style money where it's just like heading up a project, you know, leading whatever, and you know that it's just going to cash out.
At least like, don't say it, dude.
Just some there's some like ambitious game studios out there doing things where it's like, you know, what if it is VR? What if it is more on like, you know, kind of like tournament esports side of things?
Chasing passion projects, maybe. Like, who knows? Happy for him either way, you know?
Happy for him.
Been well.
We'll miss him. Let's talk about Icebox. All right, brand new map coming October 13th, October 27th for competitive. Here's the Blizzard copy, or not the Blizzard, the Riot copy on this. An abandoned kingdom research facility in the Arctic wilderness is the next location to flex your aim and abilities. Pierce the dense snow covered as a dense snow cover as an attacker to plant the spike. Outplay as defender using zip lines to reach new and dangerous heights. The two objective sites on Icebox favor frequent skirmishes, sharp aim, and adaptive play. If you're watching the video, we've got the trailer of Icebox playing for you. Looks great. Volskaya Industries is here. It literally is Volskaya. I'm sorry.
Sorta.
But it's not, I don't think that Volskaya is like, I don't know, like the first person to do a snow map with.
Oh, yeah, no.
Like anything, some but, sort it, of but like it's very industrial. Volskaya-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I think I've been trying to kind of keep track of all the comments about it. Generally people are really positive on it. A lot more open as you get closer to the two different capture points or spike drop points, whatever. It tends to get more enclosed. You go indoors. There's verticality at play. But overall, I think pretty interesting design. What do you guys think?
Again, Riot continues with the like the gimmick, where it's just like each map has that shtick, where it's like, oh, an ascent. You can like close these doors. Like, wow, cool, nifty. Like, Haven has three bomb sites. Like, wow. I'm fine with the zip lines. I could live without them. If that kind of plays into like the whole verticality, which it seems like it does, you know, reaching new heights and they want to, you know, emphasize that. It's fine. I could live without it. I like the fact that it is open so that if there becomes like a weird like kill box area, what Riot also has been very good about is altering the maps, quickly coming in with split. Shaving off an angle, you know, putting a box here, you know, taking a box away. You know, they're very adaptive when it comes to their map design, which is a pleasant surprise. And I think Icebox will probably see its fair share of changes. I think people are probably like, not to say that the map is bad by any means. I think people are receptive because like they've been clamoring for something new. So they're excited to kind of get into it and play it. I think I'm not big on the zip lines. I'd rather just like something a little bit more intuitive, but there again, like it's hard to, it's not intuitive. That's not the right word either, but regardless, I don't know. It's fine. I need to get my hands on it before I can actually have like strong opinions, but happy that it's here. Most certainly. It's a pretty map. It's cool.
How you feel, yep. Yiska?
So I'll readily admit, like, I haven't really looked at, like, that map, like, super in-depth.
There's not a lot out there to be super in-depth on it, to be fair. Yeah, just, no. Like, the
right
footage that some creators got early.
So, from what I heard, like, for instance, a friend of ours, Peak, he's been able to play, and he said, like, this is a really good map. I've heard people say it's the best map yet in Valorant. So, I think I trust the opinion on that. I will say the zip line looks lame as hell. Like
I've got to imagine it's the same as like split, right?
I don't know if the speed is the same, but the fundamental design is exactly the same as the zip lines. Like I was thinking zip lines of like, oh, you can like zip across from like one side of like holding B to the other. And like, you know, but no, it's literally just like
just up.
Oh, you mean a ladder? Got
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
You mean a ladder.
But isn't there a horizontal zipline as well in the middle of everything?
To be honest, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of it. I've only seen the vertical ones.
Yeah, I think there's a horizontal one and that's even worse than the vertical ones in my mind.
I think it's fine to have those where it's like almost like the TPs on bind where it's like they're usable in like certain circumstances. But like for the most part, it's just kind of like fun stuff for like people to like have fun with and like streamers to do cool stuff with. Like, I don't know. You want to have like a fucking cross map zipline? Go for it. Pro players probably won't use it all that much, but you know, you want to see Ninja do a 360 no scope off it? It'll happen. It's cool. I'm about it.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to kind of appease the casual almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like, honestly, I don't have a whole lot of thoughts on Icebox. I have a lot more thoughts on this next piece though, which is
eyebrows.
What's that?
Eyebrows. Eye emoji. What new piece?
Is Sky. Let's talk about Sky. Sky is the latest and greatest in the new agents in Valorant. A lot going on. Sky is an initiator class from Australia. Her abilities operate off of the concept of activating trinkets. So I'll give you guys a brief overview of the abilities, and then we'll go through and talk about them. First is regrowth. First, you start by equipping a trinket, which means that you put your gun away. You hold fire to channel, healing allies in range and line of sight. It can be reused until her healing pool is depleted and Sky cannot heal herself. Trailblazer, equip a Tasmanian Tiger trinket. Fire to send out and take control of the predator. While in control, fire to leap forward, exploding in a concussible blast and damaging directly hit enemies. Guiding Light, you have three charges of these. Equip a Hawk trinket. Fire to send it forward. Hold fire to guide the Haunt in the direction of your crosshair. Reuse while the Hawk is in flight to transform it into a Flash. And finally, the ultimate is Seekers. Equip a Seeker trinket. Fire to send out three Seekers to track down the three closest enemies. If a Seeker reaches its targets, it nearsights them. That's a lot of stuff.
Right.
A lot of new
Ready?
Lot of new things at once. All right, Joe. What is it?
She's insane. Easily the best hero right now. Period.
Tell me why. Tell me why. Back that
Okay.
up.
Sky's better than Sage. Guiding Light has more upside to just like traditional flashes. Trailblazer is a more interactive cyber camera. The only thing that I can like nitpick about this is Seekers doesn't feel like super impactful. And that's not because it's not good. It's very good. It just doesn't feel like an ultimate. It's so insane, but it doesn't have that oomph.
So why do you say she's better than Sage? You think her heal's better?
Yeah, you can just go through walls. You can heal multiple people at once.
It can't go through walls. It's line of sight.
Oh, okay.
And well, you have a healing pool of 100 total health.
Yeah, that's fine.
So if you have one person in line of sight and they're at 2, it'll heal for 98 and then whatever. If you have 4 people in line of sight and they all have 10 gone, it'll heal each person for 10 and you'll still have 40 left over. So it does change that quite a bit.
For sure.
Versus just a full heal, single heal that can be cast on themselves. So no self-healing. It isn't guaranteed to heal you up to full.
Yeah.
Big radius, though.
Large radius, multiple people all at the same time. Like, it's going to be very, very good. I think the Overwatch in me is leaping at, oh my god, AoE healing, oh my god. I don't think the AoE healing will be as impactful. I think the range and the potential upside of healing two people at once is definitely like valuable. Yes, there's like a recharge to it, or there's only a set amount of resource that you can invest into healing people. You also have to kind of like put your gun away for a pretty substantial amount of time. It's not just the heal, it's like the kit in general, but like regrowth is just a good thing to have. It's going to allow you to take these peaks a lot of the same way that, you know, Sage did. It doesn't seem like super oppressive where it's like, okay, I'm healing everybody as we're pushing. Like it seems tame, but it still allows you to do a lot. Interested that they're adding in more healing, especially AoE, as touchy as that can be. We'll have to see how it feels. Again, this is just kind of like a outset reads on things, but it still feels very strong. Feels good. Or it looks good, rather. It doesn't feel good. Yeah. I think it's probably the weakest part of her kit, but...
That's what I was going to say, is I actually think that this is the least impactful part of her kit. Nice to have. Solid. Yeah. I haven't seen how quickly it heals. I don't know if it's similar to Sage, or it could be a lot slower. Yiska, how do you feel about AoE healing?
I mean, okay, first off, it doesn't self-heal, so that is already a little bit different. Depends on potency, depends on availability. I don't mind it as much, because, yeah, you don't have a weapon in hand, that regard. It will probably enforce undesirable... Like, okay, so you don't want to necessarily super stack like a site or like a specific angle. So like in the example that they show the ability often, right? Like it's on ascent, on the bomb site. And when you got three there, you probably don't want all three of them to sit on the bomb site, right?
Yeah.
So if you're enforcing that by like requiring heals, whatnot, that needs to be timed in some way. I could easily see that being a little bit busted. Depends on the healing amount, really. And healing is really mostly like about breaking points. Like, does the opponent need one more bullet or does he not? But otherwise, yeah. I don't know. We got to see the values. Like, the kit itself is like, I really vibe with it. Like the thematically, it's pretty sweet. I wonder if the dog will be clunky.
Oh, it's not a dog; it's a tiger.
Tasmanian tiger or something.
Tiger.
Right.
So it does look like a dog. That, to be fair,
looks like a wolf.
Yeah,
it's a green wolf.
Yeah, something like this. Like that could be clunky. Whatever. It's a great scouting tool. Still, it's like basically a much better drone that can't fly, as it looks.
Fine.
Then,
till we get then, the drone and gun again.
Then, like, I think the ultimate is pretty good and pretty crazy. I'm not sure if it has the same impact. It depends. It really depends when the impact is high on those. But it ranges from not being that good to being very, very good, depending on the situation that you're in.
What is,
while other like, ultimates are always like crazy value.
Yeah. I definitely think it's valuable. I think like the one thing that I harp on is like the impact, whereas like as the user, as the Sky who's ulting, it doesn't feel super impactful, but the enemies feel impacted.
Yeah.
2 to 3 second nearsight, that feels like an eternity.
There's also, I also think too, a big part of it is it does lock on and tell you where your enemies are as soon as you launch it. So it's a really good scouting tool as soon as you, you know where they're coming from at that point. Even if you don't get nearsighted, it gives you a peek advantage. Right?
Wait, really? You get an indicator?
Well, you see where the jellyfish go.
Yeah. Oh, you mean that?
Right? So like
you know where they're
kind of going to come.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the bird and I'm like, really?
No. We're talking about seekers here, the little jellyfish.
Right.
They're kind of slow.
Yeah.
Which kind of were teased in, like, looking at the gameplay and looking at her trailer, kind of were teased in DM with, like, the little wolf ability that you could, like, pick up from one of the orbs. And it would kind of, like, slark around and just kind of auto attach to people. And like walk to them and nearsight them, which I thought was kind of interesting. I wonder if they'll test out any other abilities in these other game modes that they might want to try, see how the community likes it, see where they can improve it. I think she's nuts. I think she's so strong. And this is kind of just like a complete 180 from how we kind of were looking at Killjoy and even Reyna. Sky is going to see play, like 100%, like probably every game. She's nuts.
I think something that's really interesting about Guiding Light that I don't think a lot of people are talking about is that this is the first time in the game that we can actually see the concept of fake flashing.
What do you mean?
Where you don't actually have to execute the flash.
Gotcha.
And so you can essentially fake it out. Your opponent can turn around and you shoot him in the back of the head. So it kind of introduces some different mind games, different levels of mind games to it. At all. Of course, these can be shots. You also know that hawks have a different noise cue based on if you were successful flashing someone or not. So if they, if you send it through a doorway and you explode the flash and nothing gets hit, it kind of goes like, eh. And if it does flash somebody, it gives it like a victorious, like, Krah! You know, like,
I think Krah! That's going to get drenched. Like, she's already overloaded. I can see Guiding Light either remaining the same and going down to two charges, because this is still a signature ability. So I'm assuming she gets one baseline and you buy two, if I'm reading it correctly. By reading, I mean, like, mm-hmm. in like kind of projecting. Having the hawk also give like a clarifier if you landed or not is also strong for three charges. Strong. Very good.
I didn't see the cost on this though.
I think it's cheaper.
200.
I think it's 100.
Interesting.
I think it's 100 for one, like,
oh, 100 per. Yeah.
Yeah,
per
100 per.
Yeah.
She's like scary good. Like, this is going to be obnoxious. Yeah, like, yeah, you can shoot him. You also have to shoot him. Because we got Breach winging flashes. We got Sky winging flashes. This game's going to get all kinds of cluttered here in a bit. Like, I can't wait for the clips to start coming out of, you know, G2 trying to push long A, or long B, rather, and just permanently flash the entire time they die. Like, it's starting to get up there, starting to get quite crazy. So we will see. I think she's definitely going to be very good and probably will receive an immediate nerf.
Well, let's talk about Trailblazer for a second, because that's the one that we can't. So something interesting that I learned is that you actually can shift walk as Trailblazer. So
yeah.
You're not making noise. It obviously can be shot. I don't know the damage specifically that it does, but it also does concussive blast. So it's kind of like a, you know, its own. It's that near sights, right? Concussive, or no? It's stun. Yeah,
it's
stun.
Yeah. It's like breach. Yeah, like, it can't do a lot. It can't. It really can't do a lot of damage. Like,
right.
If it does more than 50. I'm already like, what? It stuns. It gives you info. Like, what doesn't Sky do? Like, great. Mm-hmm. Like, shoot her gun, maybe? Who needs to at that point?
I mean, to be fair, during all these abilities, she doesn't have her gun out.
I very.
It's just kind of weird for an initiator, right?
Yeah, I think that's like one of the more interesting kind of meta topics, is like the definitions of some of these, because this is not an initiator. An initiator, right. Like, this is more of a support than anything. Right. But and right. It's just a semantic thing, right? She doesn't initiate into a fight. She enables other people to initiate.
Right. It's scout. It's a, like, almost all these are scouting tools. It's a scout, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trailblazer is totally a scouting tool. Guiding Light, obviously, a scouting tool combined with flashes. And then Seekers are a scouting tool that also has Nearsight. So, yeah, it's... She's strong, guys. Like, I think she is really strong. It is nice to see that, like, we're not just getting another version of, like, a... You know, just, like, kind of like a just a recolored ability kind of thing where it's like, you know, you just get this one has green smokes, this one has purple, like you know, something a little bit different. Definitely shows that they're still interested in going out and innovating creative. On these different abilities. They're not afraid to be a little bit scandalous, I think, with some of these. Like, these are some pretty powerful abilities that also give you control of a lot of the gameplay on how those abilities, because you can direct the guiding lights as well with your crosshair.
Yep.
So
very similar to like Jet Smokes, which was a mechanic that I quite enjoyed playing around with. It felt good to like land and like find these like set and like the feeling of the smoke. So you're gonna have the same kind of feeling with guiding lights. Like,
yeah,
so you're knocking it out of the park.
It's interesting. We'll have to see. I'm not saying that she's not great, because she is great.
Oh yeah, she's nuts.
She's
going to be obnoxious.
We'll see.
She's going to be. See. Ugh, I can see it now. Somebody's not going to shoot this guiding light. We're all going to get flashed. To your point though, with like the recut, the reskins or like the recolorings of like other abilities, like there's definitely like influences or like similarities to like other abilities with Sky, but they're different enough to like feel different, if that makes sense. Like Trailblazer kind of feels like a different kind of like raise bot.
Well, I think it's closer to like Run It Back, honestly.
Kinda. Like I definitely get where you're going with that. It's kind of a weird drone mix of like a lot of different things, and it's different. It kind of has a similar purpose. They're still kind of operating with those the traditional utility that CSGO had with the flashes and kind of creatively adding these into the game. And so they're not just like the same old flashbang, you're winging over walls, you know, it's thematic to the character. It has impact. It's unique. I want more guiding light than I do turrets. I want more guiding lights than I do Reyna invisibility. As like gated away as that is, like it's still a thing. Good.
You can almost do none of that, what she's doing alone, right? Like, you need someone to be very with you.
Team oriented.
Like that flash doesn't do anything for you when you can't have your gun out.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you have to. It's very the only you can't thing flash for yourself.
You definitely can't flash for yourself, but you can scout. If you just wing one in and they shoot it, it's like, okay, well, I know somebody's there now. You can start to premium a little bit more confidently. Like,
you mean the ult or?
No, guiding light. Like her signature, her E.
Oh, can you shoot the bird?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
That's like.
All of her abilities except regrowth, which I don't think is actually a thing. I think she just, like she stands.
Yeah, she just kind of like channels it. There's no downside. Literally no downside to most of these.
I mean, you're not holding a gun. That's a pretty big downside.
Not holding
a gun. If you don't have a second guy with you, it's every ability she has, other than the ultimate, is a pretty big risk to use. Or, like, because, okay, you are outside your character when you use the tiger thing, right?
Yeah. You are the tiger.
Right. So I assume your model will then remain in that location.
You're standing there, like, operating your little drone.
This is very much, like a drone right. around a vacuum.
Right. So you will need, like, you can't really move up on that well, right? Like you can't anchor anything with this. I think that's probably very likely to be too dangerous. Like the heal not being a sail feel requires you to, when you want to create value, to be with someone. Mm-hmm. I think that's just like, it will be probably a character that is more like, let's say a Brimstone who has to go in second or third in order to create full value.
Oh, yeah.
Probably top fragging every round or whatever. Yep. But
this is new Sage. Like, this is the person who like goes third or fourth in, gets most of the kills, is adding to the entry.
Yeah.
Literally frags out their mind. And it's probably good because Seekers, you know, you want to dump your, if you had to choose who's getting the kills. It also depends on how many charges you need to get Seekers off. Because if it's like really short, you could just see teams really. And I still think that like we could be undervaluing Orb. What would be the word? Like winning fights over the Orb, earning Orbs.
Yeah, I
get cheap. She's going to be crazy. But to your point, like when it comes to like solo play, 100%, like you definitely don't want to play her solo. Probably can't anchor. I will say that it seems like Riot has very purposefully said equip in every single ability as if they were like balanced her to be without a gun most of the
all,
time.
All four of her abilities start with the word equip.
Yeah. It's very purposeful. Like you equip your thing. You don't have a gun. Like you're not shooting people. You don't have the opportunity to shoot people because you're equipping this. So I think they're using that as like a balance tool. I think they're probably going to have to be a little bit more heavy-handed on that, whether it be like swapping back to your weapon, being a little bit slower. Things like that. Which could be impactful enough to kind of make her maybe a little less good than we think.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I think her abilities outside of guiding lights, I think that Trailblazer and Seekers are pretty telegraphed. So they're more informational than they are as far as like impactful. And also you pretty much need to be, you don't want to be the guy who mutes team chat and play play Sky. There's a lot of communication and coordination, I think, around her abilities as well.
Yep.
So
good duo partner. Again, it feels kind of more like a support. Weird as an initiator. Again, semantics.
I guess the only thing that they might be calling, they might, you know, be classifying an initiator because their abilities may be doing the initiating. Whereas like duelists are kind of like how I think we classify initiators. Like they're the, it's, I don't know. Hey, are we done?
Think so. That's kind of the week.
Sweet.
Sweet.
That's what I say at work when something is like resolved. I always say sweet with a little German
sweet.
Sweet.
Sweet. Cool. Well, hey everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. It was good fun. Good fun today. I like just kind of hanging, ending the weekend, being chill.
Yep.
Got a lot going on.
Yep.
Big weekend. Overwatch League Grand Finals in the morning. Yes. 6 a.m. Pacific. That'll be fun.
Yep.
That's
one way you could say it. Painful. Brothers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at least we get an NA versus Asia.
Asia final?
Final.
Not the one I think anybody, shouldn't say anybody, because you expected it.
I did call Shock and Soul.
Dead. Who did you call
somebody,
to win?
Soul. Which I think we're going to be
wrong. I mean, who
bonus.
But it was also kind of my controversial, like, I should just double down on it, but
should,
like, realistically, it's like Yiska said Shanghai, you said shock. I'm like, you know what? Get Seoul. Seoul. Why not? Why not now? Yeah. Why not now?
Do we wake up to a nightmare tomorrow? Is the question. See,
it will never see. Know, dude. You never know.
Yeah. True. All right. Well, let's get out of here. Big thanks again to everybody who hung out today. Big thanks to Quiznos Bear for the resub. Welcome back for 3 months. If you do like the show, consider dropping a sub. Subs are 20% off right now for your first month sub. So if you want to sub to the show, definitely do that. Twitch.tv/kicktripod. Also, if you like the show, a thing you could really do to help us out is leave a 5-star iTunes review on iTunes. Really helps us with the algorithm for how we show up when people search for Valorant podcasts. So really appreciate it there. You can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod, and on my YouTube at Kick Tripod YT. I do a lot of more like tech streaming, gaming type, general type stuff there. You can also check out our other Overwatch show, Tactical Crouch, by searching for Tactical Crouch. That's it for me. Joe, what you got going on this week? Shout outs, where can people find you, all that stuff?
Nothing in terms of content. Just a couple like Overwatch like hype pieces for the final. Obviously watching that in T minus like 15 hours. Probably enjoy a little bit of world content. And yeah, just kind of preparing for the Overwatch off season, preparing for Valorant's First Strike tournaments kind of ramping up towards the end of the month. Like, as much as we're kind of walking into one off season, playoffs for another game kind of are spooling up with First Strike. So it never ends. It just kind of shifts, which I'm kind of about. So nice. Hype for it.
Yiska, what about you? Shout outs for the week. Where can people find you?
So once again, like we're doing like coverage tomorrow of the grand finals. We did a bunch of like recaps there. Other than that, next week, might have some Valorant coming up. We'll see. And then the week after, it's Sweet Holidays.
Nice.
Already looking forward to that.
Is this where you Europeans decide that you don't need to work for like 2 months or something like that?
No, it's just a week.
Oh, well, never mind. Cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here. Chat, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you have a great one. I don't know if you guys are planning on playing any games or anything after this, or you guys all going your separate ways.
Probably going up. We can head.
If we decide to play some Among Us, you should just be in the Discord channel and we'll ping you. We'll see what happens. All right, chat, we're out of here. Thanks. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.